This guy is the co-creator of one of the other legendary, old school, been around forever South by Southwest events. Many of you were at 20 by 2 last night. Give it up if you were. And he's told many a story here at Frey Cafe. We are happy to have him back. He's a good friend. Mr. Jeff Ryder, come on up here.
All right, how are y'all? Woo. To carry on the meme, now I don't get to get up here and tell my story about fucking Vanilla Ice and his comeback tour. The reason he wouldn't let you play their song, by the way, is that when we saw him in Lubbock in 1998, he opened with Ice Ice Baby and then he closed with Ice Ice Baby. Played it twice.
As
you do. I don't know what he played in the middle. Okay. So my story tonight is about marriage. From the wedding to poop. My wife and I got married right here in Austin, Texas. In fact, my wife and I were introduced by the host of our show, Kevin Smokler, to each other in the lobby of the Hampton, and she's right here, so she's gonna tell about half the story. In the lobby of the Hampton, we went to dinner. Several years later, she convinced me to sell all my shit and move to San Francisco. And then about 2 years ago, almost, it'll be 2 years in September, we decided to come here to Austin, Texas, where we met, invite all of our friends and family to come down and hang out with us, and that we were going to get married here. We got engaged on New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight. And the next day, New Year's Day, is my birthday, so we were having a great big giant party, and she didn't know what was happening. I asked her to marry me, and she said yes, and then she spent all day on my birthday, and this was pretty awesome, running around the house going, "Yay! Over and over and over again. And then later on, we called her parents, and she said, "Hi, Mom." "Yay, yay, yay, yay." And we got engaged. We spent about 9 months planning the wedding. The wedding theme was simply the cocktail menu that we created. We didn't have colors, and we didn't have a plan. We had a cocktail menu. We had four drinks. Yeah, cocktails. Everybody likes cocktails. We invited a whole ton of people. About half of those people are here, I think. A great many of you people who came to the wedding. Everybody yell. Cool. So this is a really boring story, y'all. I'll know this part. We got married at the Sculpture Garden on the other side of the river, which is so far away from South By that none of you will ever get a chance to go down there. It would cost you $147 in a pedicab ride to get there from here. We had a really nice wedding on Friday night. We had a lovely dinner. We had a very small, intimate group dance. Carla doesn't like to dance particularly, and so we got about a third of the way into the song, and then we just dragged everybody from the wedding onto the dance floor, and that was our first dance because we didn't really want to get stared at. The second night of the wedding got a little crazier. Night number two was beer and tacos night. We were in Texas, and we brought all these people from all over the country, so we rented out a bar over on Rainy Street when there were only two bars on Rainy Street instead of 14. And we brought in a bunch of tacos and a bunch of beer, and we all hung out. And then everyone wandered back over to see the bats fly out from under the bridge, which is a very traditional Austin thing to do. The other very traditional Austin thing is for the bats to decide, "Fuck you, we're not going to fly out from the bridge. We don't care." And so we all stood around on the bridge for about an hour and a half, and nothing happened. That actually, the whole myth about the bats, it only happens about every third night. They don't always do it. It's not a thing. So we stood around, and that didn't happen. And then we wandered down to South Congress, and we were doing a little bit of drinking. We were in what is now Snack Bar, and we were hanging out for a little while, doing some drinks. And they served beer and wine, and Carla's brother and our friend Matt and a couple of other guys heard that there was a bar across the street that might have liquor. And they went up to the bartender lady who was working at Snack Bar, and they said, "Hey, where is the closest place to get liquor? We heard something." She said, "Oh, yeah, go right across the street to Doc's. They have liquor. While you're there, get me a shot of Southern Comfort." And so about 20 minutes later, Matt came in with a tiny little plastic cup and handed it to her, just like the one that I just drank, and finished it. Our friend Matt, when he's in San Francisco, is a police officer. Later on that night, we wandered back up to the San Jose Hotel, which is where most people were staying. And it got even further off the rails at that point. At one point, Crystal, who's got her hands over her face right now, her husband, the man who has now her husband, who was her boyfriend or fiance or something at the time, decided to go for a little bit of a dip in the pool, which was fine. When he was done, Brian's typically quite the sartorial cat. When he was done, Brian got out of the pool, put on his San Jose hotel robe, and just hung out on the patio at the bar of the San Jose with all the rest of us, basically naked. While we were there, there was a birthday party for someone who had turned 40, a random other person. And this is where we had our first celebrity sighting of the event. There were plenty of celebrity sightings in Austin, even when it's not South By. We looked over and realized that Owen Wilson was hanging out at the bar with everybody else. And when the large group of people who were there for the 40th birthday started to sing for the woman's birthday, a couple of the people at that table turned around and began encouraging other people. And very shortly, every single person in the bar, who was this person's birthday party and our wedding, and that was it, started to sing happy birthday to this woman who was turning 40. Every single person in the bar, except Owen Wilson, who just sat there. A little bit later, he got up and wandered off from his table. We don't know exactly where he went, but by that point, at least some of our friends and us were intoxicated enough to steal what was left of Owen Wilson's champagne bottle and take it back to their room and drink it. We all left the bar at the San Jose Hotel, and we walked across the street to the upstairs bar at the Continental, which is called the Continental Gallery. Once we got there, we realized that Brian, Crystal's husband, had tagged along with us, still in his bathrobe. The doorman at the front door said to him, dude, you can't come in without a shirt. And Brian said, okay. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a t-shirt that he had, took off his robe, put the t-shirt on, put the robe back on, and the guy went, all right, that'll work. And up the stairs we went. We were there for 10 or 15 minutes playing ping pong and hanging out when someone said, hey, look over there. That's Owen Wilson. And he was hanging out and trying to score on some babe. And my wife, who had only been my wife for about 40 hours, walked past him and went, wow, he's got a really big bald spot. Except she said it way louder than that, because the next time we saw Owen Wilson after that, he was wearing a hat. There was more crazy stuff that happened, but largely after that, the night kind of wound down, and my memory's a little fuzzy. And the next morning, we all got up and we ate what was left of the tres leches cake from the party sitting around the tables on Sunday. And we all talked about how we should always do this every 3 or 4 or 5 years. We should all get together and come to Austin when there's not some insane-ass crazy thing going on. And it was wonderful and lovely. And so the very beginning of marriage starts like that, this great, wild, and crazy story, and all of this fun, and all of our friends being there, and it was wonderful. And then you get home, and there's just kind of real life. And it's not horrible. I'm not saying, wow, we got married, and it was great, and then I got home, and now it's fucking boring, and I don't have anything to do. My wife and my stepdaughters are great, and even the regular, boring, everyday, mundane things about having life out there and living with three vegetarians is pretty fantastic. Little tiny basic details about being married. When I bought my grill, Grace was really hoping that I would cook bacon outside because she objects to the smell of bacon, and I told her only if you want me to burn down the whole house. Little bitty things. I mean, you know, we struggled to get them in and out of high school. They're both about to start high school, and Grace did really well and took these great tests and applied to private high school, and she got into a really cool thing. And then when it was Vivian's turn, she went and drew little Christmas tree bubbles on the entry test, and she got a 2. Like, you have to try really hard to get a 2. She failed it so spectacularly. You know, just these regular, everyday, normal adult things that you do. And but there's one overreaching, never-ending topic of conversation between my wife and I. The one single thing that we never, ever, ever seem to get tired of talking about or ever, ever, ever run out of material about is taking a shit. I never understood, once you got married and you lived in someone else's space, how much your shit affected them and how much their shit would affect you. How important it was when you went to the bathroom and excreted solid waste out of your ass, that it was important to discuss it with your partner. It doesn't do any good to just drop it in the toilet. It's like Foursquare. You have to put it on the internet, or it didn't really happen. If I don't discuss my dumps with Carla, I'm not sure they're even real. I'm reasonably certain if I don't tell her that I did it, I don't have to flush. We now judge new restaurants that we go into by whether or not they have wooden matches by the door on the way out so that we can take them home and leave them in our bathroom. Carla has a very specific issue where when she's about to go, she's pretty much got to go. And if she waits too long, I guess her system seizes up and decides to keep it. So there's a very narrow window in which if she doesn't get a chance to go to the bathroom, she's not going to get to do it. So now taking a dump in our house is referred to as having a window. And every now and then we'll be sitting on the couch and I'll realize that I just had a great big capicola and salami and ham sandwich with pepperoncinis on it. And I'm like, oh shit, I got a window. I got to go. And I'll get up and run out of the room. And we say it like it's code, like the kids don't know what we're talking about, but they absolutely are 100% certain that they know what's going on. We bought a dog a couple years into being married, and the dog is, sort of participates in this. He's a little French bulldog, and we found out one of the things about the breed is that because they don't breathe very well, they take in a lot of air when they eat, so they fart like fucking crazy. Our dog insists on lying in the bed with his head towards the end of the bed and his butt upright in our faces, and he farts like crazy all night long. And the more relaxed and casual he gets, and the happier he is to be sleeping warmly between his mom and his daddy, the more he just lets fly, man. They're right there. Every now and then, when he's really snuggled up close to you and it's whatever, it's not gross. They don't stink. You'll get...
Oh, what the fuck?
The last one, a couple days ago, he did it, and it was like a little puff of air on my face. Like I've been kissed by a little butterfly that smelled like a septic tank. And Carl and I just never stopped talking about poops and farts and poops and farts and who took a dump and what we did and where we did it. Grace and Vivian get in on the act too. Grace and Vivian are with us the first half of the week, and then they're back to their dad and stepmoms the second half of the week. For something like 15 weeks running, every single Wednesday, the very first day that they went back, I would walk past their bathroom in the hallway, become overwhelmed by the smell, walk in and look down into the toilet bowl only to see what you would have to be called a hate crime had been left in the thing and never flushed. By the 10th or 15th week that they decided to leave the house for 3 days without flushing the toilet, I said, Vivian, Grace, the next time I walk in your bathroom on Wednesday and you're gone and there's a turd in the toilet, I'm going to take a photo of it and post it on your Facebook wall. Stop doing this shit. Learn to flush. And the only reason I'm telling you guys all of this incredibly intimate things about pooping and how much my wife and I like to talk about pooping was, having been married for about 9 months or so, I went up to someone else at a party, and I'm like 99% sure it was Thor Mueller, who at least some of you probably have met or know who that is. Thor's a kind of funny but pretty serious guy. He's got a kind of a flat demeanor, and he said, you know, said, hey man, you know, well, you know, how's married life treating you? And what's you know, it's kind of the first thing everybody says to you after they see you the first time you get married is like, you know, what's being married like? I said, well, it's really great, except for the whole thing about, I never realized that we would talk so much about poop. I never realized that the designation between poop and poo was really important. That there's a certain consistency value there with that last P, and all of these things. And I kind of went on my little rant like this, and I was like, isn't that weird that once you get married you talk about poop all the time? And Thor looked right at me and he said, we never do that. Never. Never. My wife and I have never had one conversation about poop. So it turns out it's just Carla and me, and now all of you. And that's that.
Y'all are sick. I couldn't even get that out. Y'all are sick. I introduced you and I didn't know that. Scared the whole first table away. Look at that. If we need room in here, we should just be like, well, the difference between poop and shit is, and someone will leave. We'll have some room after that. Good God. Thanks, guys. Good to see you. I know those guys. Let's give it up for Craig and Brian and who are you?
Jordan.
Give it up, some new people. If you have never been to Frey Cafe before, could you raise your hand? Look at that. Give it up for the newcomers.